from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Joshua Johnson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. California has plenty of work to do with its water, and state lawmakers want voters to spend billions on getting it done. Last night, the legislature passed a multi-billion dollar water bond nearly unanimously with bipartisan support. We'll get an update on the bond proposition from KQED Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow in our first half hour. Then in the second half, UC Davis is changing how it educates doctors by making its degree program shorter. America desperately needs primary care doctors, and more universities are considering a fast track. An update on the water bond and a plan to shorten medical school. All ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. Good morning. I'm Joshua Johnson of KQED News, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Water is a hot topic in California, thanks to our intense drought, and it was the subject of some last-minute negotiating in the state legislature. Last night, lawmakers approved putting a bond proposal in this year's November election worth $7.5 billion for water-related projects across the state. It's called Proposition 1. Practically every detail of this water bond has gone through multiple revisions in the last few months, the goals, the work to be done, and definitely the cost. But it provided enough compromise for Republican lawmakers to vote with the Democratic majority and put it before you on the fall ballot. Let's learn more about Prop 1 from KQED Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this water bond has been the topic of a lot of political wrangling, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's take a step back and define for everyone just what this item is. If we as Californians vote yes on Prop 1, what would happen?
Well, think about envision a water infrastructure project. Think about what comes to mind, and there's a pretty good chance that that type of project would probably be funded by this water bond. What this is a multi-billion dollar effort to fund a whole host of projects up and down the state that in one way or another help our water flow, help our drinking quality, things like that. The big item that got a lot of attention the last few days is the fact that this bond would spend, because it hasn't been approved yet, $2.7 billion on building new dams and reservoirs. The Republicans who push for that say that they think that two new reservoirs could be constructed with this bond. There's also a lot of money for environmental restoration efforts in watersheds. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that would go toward water recycling projects, helping communities reuse water and get it back into the system quicker. There's money to help deal with flood prevention. And here's one thing that's gotten a lot of attention due to the drought. There'd be nearly $1 billion for projects aimed at strengthening groundwater supplies. We've seen a lot of frightening data in the last few months that as California's drought has progressed, we've really been sucking the groundwater under our feet dry. So this money would go to try and bolster and recharge those supplies.
So basically Prop 1 would fund everything water.
to put it a little bit bluntly,
but it's everything water. Yeah. It sounds like
right. It's just all over the place, and you read the pages and the details. There's money going here. There's money going there, and it's been tricky to follow, and it's been tricky to process for listeners, I'm sure, because the big part of the debate has been how do we prioritize this? What gets more attention, and what gets a little less attention? And in the end, what got the most attention is the money that goes to these new reservoirs. Something like nearly 40% of this bond would go toward these reservoir projects. And that's mostly due to politics because, you know, we changed the rules a few years ago in Sacramento where it's just a simple majority. You know, 50% plus one is all that's needed to pass a budget. It used to be you needed two-thirds of lawmakers on board to do something like that. This bond was one of the rare instances where you did need two-thirds support, and that meant that you needed some Republican support. And Republicans, you don't tend to hear too much about them in our stories coming out of Sacramento because they have such small numbers.
Right.
But this was a case where they needed to be on board. So they said, okay, if we're going to be on board, this is our top priority. And that's why so much money would be going toward new reservoirs here.
So this was not one of those moments where the Democrats could just say, we have the majority. This is what we want and we'll do it with you or without you.
Right. That's the other 99% of the time in Sacramento, just due to the raw numbers of how many Democrats there are in the Senate and the Assembly. The Republicans drove a really hard bargain, and they were not on board until the last minute. In fact, as I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit, there was some wrangling where they had to pass a law earlier this week extending the deadline to get this done by 2 days because negotiations were dragging. But in the end, the Republicans got nearly everything they wanted, and it was a near unanimous vote. And you had Republicans and Democrats standing together, smiling, slapping each other on the back. And it was a big, happy bipartisan scene last night.
In a rare moment of kumbaya. Now, how much of this bond is driven by our current drought, as opposed to just kind of the array of water-related stuff that California has to deal with anyway?
Well, I'll give you a good public policy answer on that. Yes, it's related to the drought, and no, it's not related to the drought. Water bonds are something that you see passed a lot. I think there's been something like more than 15 different water bonds if you go back over the years. This is kind of the main vehicle to fund the types of projects that we need to keep the water flowing in California. You know, even in good years, which we are certainly not in right now when it comes to water in California, you know, we really have a hairy situation here where we have people living in areas that just naturally would not sustain that amount of life because there's just not much water there. So, you know, we have this huge network moving water back and forth to grow the food that we eat, to keep people living where they live. And it takes a lot of money to sustain. So these water bonds are really the vehicles to fund those big projects that keep that working. So this is something that a lot of people in Sacramento have wanted to do for a long time. In fact, it replaces an attempt at a water bond that they passed several years ago. But that ended up being more than $11 billion because they had to win that two-thirds support that you need for these types of things. And you had all sorts of projects that critics labeled as pork. And most people looking at it would say, yeah, that funding really has nothing to do with actual, you know, water infrastructure needs. So this was an attempt to kind of scale that back, get something that would be easier to pass at the ballot. And here's where it does tie into the drought. The political reality is that a lot of people are paying very close attention to water. Water is the type of thing that when we have the amount of supply, it's something you don't think about. You turn on your tap, it's there. You move on with your life because you expect it to be there. You know, this is a political climate where we are all very mindful of the scarcity of water. And the politicians here thought that, you know, that is the year where you want voters going to the polls and saying, you know, should we spend this amount of money on water? I think we should because I've been hearing about how important it is, you know.
And then on top of that, I guess you've got the State Water Resources Board that's talking about clearing the way for people to be fined hundreds of dollars per day if they're wasting water. None of the Bay Area's local agencies have kind of gone that way yet. I know San Francisco's Public Utilities Commission and the East Bay Municipal Utilities District just voted to make their restrictions mandatory, but no one's going that route. But still, it seems like water policy in general on a statewide level, on a here's where it hits me as a consumer level, is very much the conversation right now.
Exactly. We're all talking about water. We're all thinking about water. We're driving on the freeway and seeing those signs saying, you know, conserve water. We're in a drought. You've got, you know, Conan on the radio and on TV telling you to use less water. So Daryl Steinberg, the top Democrat in the Senate, said last night before the vote, this is the perfect time to have a conversation, to have a campaign about an issue like this. So there was a lot of pressure to get this done, to revamp that old flawed bond and put something on that could get passed this year.
We're discussing Proposition 1, the water bond headed to this November's ballot, with KQED Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow. We welcome your questions and thoughts. Call us 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Email us, forum@kqed.org. You can also find us on Facebook or tweet us. We are at KQED Forum. Scott, let's talk about the politics behind Prop 1. As you said, this was about Democrats and Republicans negotiating the details of this. But Governor Jerry Brown also had to negotiate some of this with his fellow Democrats to make this happen, too.
That's right. And for most of the year, for most of the last 2 years, this has really been one of the top issues throughout the entire legislative session. Governor Brown had been very hands-off on the bond issue. He every time you asked him about it at a press conference or a public event, he would give a very evasive answer about whether or not he wanted to see a measure this year, whether or not he you know, what he would want to see in it. The governor has really prioritized the idea of reining in California's finances, of the fact he's very proud of the fact that, you know, there was extra money this year, that the years of tens and $20 billion deficits are gone for now. And he, the last few budget cycles, has really prioritized paying off debt. So the governor was very hesitant about running for reelection, about pushing his big priority of a rainy day fund that would save extra money, and at the same time have voters thinking about whether or not they should borrow an additional $11 billion. It kind of goes against the main point he was going for.
Now, $11 billion was the value of the original version of this bond, the one that has since been shelved, right?
That's correct. Right. The one that has been swapped at. It would have been Prop 43. It's gone. You don't have to worry about Prop 43 now. The new bond is Proposition 1, and it's about $4 billion smaller than that total. So you saw the governor actually get engaged the last few weeks. He put out a plan and said he wanted to spend only $6 billion. He said, obviously, California does need to spend some money on water projects, but he didn't want to borrow more money than was needed because he does want to continue paying off other debt that's accumulated. So late last week, Brown put out this plan for $6 billion. That really kicked off the serious final round of negotiations. He gradually increased his price that he was willing to go to the $7.5 billion total that was passed last night.
We're getting a lot of really good calls coming through on the line, and we're going to go to those in just a second. But I'm taken by the bipartisan spirit with which this came together, well, near the end anyway. I mean, it seems like that rare moment in Sacramento, like you said, where lawmakers on both sides of the aisle come away from this big negotiation seeming to feel pretty good about the outcome.
Right. You know, when we always complain about – when you hear people complain about Washington, D.C. these days, it's, you know, this person wants X, that person wants Y. Why can't they come in the middle? And, you know, that seems like what everybody else would do, but that just never seems to happen. This is a case where it did happen, where, you know, everybody kind of met each other halfway, like most people negotiate – most people who don't happen to be members of Congress negotiate right. In day-to-day life. And I think that's something that you'll hear a lot about in the campaign this fall because Governor Brown and other top lawmakers in the state love to point out areas that California is able to be productive when the federal government is just kind of in a stasis stalemate. You know, another example of that is the immigration issue where even with all the pressing problems, Congress and the president aren't able to get anything done. Governor Brown likes to point to the fact that, look, California has dealt with immigration on all these different fronts, and he's signed a lot of bills on that front. So this is just another example that he'll be happy to point to in terms of state government being functional.
All right, Scott Detrow, we've only got you till the bottom of the hour, so let's dive into the calls, beginning with Arthur in Palo Alto. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for covering the subject so quickly.
Of course.
How much of the water bond can go to the proposed tunnels moving water past the delta that was talked about? And how much of the funds in the water bond can be used to address tidal flood protection in the Bay Area that might be exacerbated by sea level rise?
Thanks, Arthur. Scott?
Well, on the delta question, that's a really good question, and that was really a main issue over the last few weeks. It kind of ended up taking a backseat to the reservoir topic just because of, again, that negotiating and the two-thirds reality that we've talked about already. There's no actual money in this water bond for the tunnels themselves. Those would be funded through different means down the line, mostly by the people who would be purchasing the water that flows through the tunnels. So there's no money for the tunnels themselves, but the concern from critics of those tunnels, the people who do not want to see those tunnels built, they were worried that this bond would allow other portions of the plan, you know, the broader plan, which affects all aspects of the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, that this bond would kind of give that the momentum and that those restoration projects and those mitigation projects to kind of, you know, improve the landscape in preparation for the tunnels would kind of help that process along. So what you saw was the amount of money going to the Delta ended up getting smaller and smaller and smaller as each draft of the bond came forward. In the end, it'll be something like $1 billion going toward the Delta for a whole host of different functions, for restoration efforts that would improve the environment, to improve the Delta's aged levee system for flood control. And opponents of the tunnels did get a really big win in that a local group, the Delta Conservancy, will play a role in deciding where that money gets spent. They had worried that if it was just the state, of course, Governor Brown is a big supporter of those tunnels, that they would end up, you know, sending that money to areas that would help the tunnels in the end.
And in terms
as for
of,
the second question,
yes,
I don't have that detail. I can, you know, a lot of different areas would pass. That's something we can look for in the coming days. But off the top of my head, I'm not sure how much money would go toward that purpose.
Okay. We'll keep an eye out for that. And I'm sure the KQED science team is going to keep an eye out for that, too. Here's an email comment.
That's what they do best.
That's what they do best. Omar from Larkspur writes, is there any money in this proposition to help farmers convert to drip irrigation or other agricultural water-saving practices?
That's a great question. Again, you know, the focus, there had been so many moving parts of this that I'd really been focusing on some of the other areas, you know, specifically that storage area, the Delta area. What I can do is kind of run through some of the different areas that I have in front of me, the top line amounts of money. There's going to be about $700 million for water recycling efforts, that $900 million to help with groundwater management that we talked about before. There is one topic that I think that last question about coastal issues would fall under. There's going to be about $800 million for regional water security, climate, and drought preparedness. And I think there's one important thing to point out about these types of bonds. We're really like two or three steps removed from the actual specific projects that get funded. Because what happens is this bond gets written up and it says we're going to fund these types of projects. Now, depending on the negotiating that went into it, the specifications for that project can be very, very specific so that, you know, it really is only one actual project that we're talking about here. But this is kind of like these are the general areas that we can spend money on. Of course, that needs to be approved by the voters in November. But then after that, it takes several years for this money to actually be handed out. The state has this money and then they accept bids from very specific projects that fall into those categories. So we're a couple steps away from being able to say, well, this will fund X project, you know, in X location in X year. And it does take several years for these things to be fully spent. You may recall that earlier this year, several hundred million dollars were allocated for emergency drought relief. A lot of that money actually came from a bond that was first passed back in 2006 and was still sitting around waiting to be spent.
So that was eight-year-old money that we finally got around to taking out of the bank.
That's right.
Wow. All right. Our time is running short. Let's get to a few more calls. Bill in Oakland. Bill, good morning.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm 100% opposed to this bond measure, mostly because the last thing we should be doing is damming more wild and scenic rivers in California. And at a time when we're trying to restore rivers and take out dams, building more of them is absolutely ridiculous. And also, actually, we don't need to pass a bond measure to fund water improvement in California. The simplest way to do it is to provide taxes on lawns and lawn chemicals and fertilizers and everything else, and similarly tax pools, everything associated with private swimming pools like cleaning and chemicals and chlorine and everything else. So for those two reasons alone, I'm going to oppose this bond measure.
All right, Bill, thanks for sharing your thoughts. But Scott, I wonder if you can speak to that. Is this really the easiest way to get these projects done? I mean, could we just could we do what Bill suggested and just pass more taxes on other things that maybe could provide the money in a different way? Or is this really the best, most direct way to get this done?
Well, I think it's the best way if by best you mean easiest to get accomplished. You know, I think that people rightly or wrongly, and I'd argue wrongly, view bonds as kind of almost in a way free money as opposed to when it gets passed. You know, it's a credit card type mentality that you have, you know, across all aspects of life that I think there's less of a visceral reaction from voters of let's borrow this money and spend it for a project than let's raise a tax and spend it for that project. And the reason I say wrongly, it's not that bonds are a bad thing, but they do end up being indirectly paid for through tax dollars every year because the bill starts coming due for the bond down the line, and the state is spending hundreds of millions of dollars out of its general fund to pay off that debt. But I think it's much easier to campaign for and pass a bond project than it is a tax increase.
Let's go back to the phones. David in Nevada City. David, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. My question to your guest is, why is it so important to the Republican minority to have funding inserted for two dam projects when evidently it wasn't that important to the Democratic majority to pass this bill? What's driving that? What's behind that issue of dams to the Republican minority?
Good question, David. Scott, why the dam? Why the projects of dams, not the—
Right. I think it's a philosophical issue. It's a symbolic issue. That's something that a lot of the Republicans and a handful of Democrats too, who were really the final deciders here in terms of the holdouts to get it to two-thirds support, come from the Central Valley. They view reservoirs and dams as something that helps their community, that provides some assurance. You know, when you see all the water levels going lower and lower and lower in a drought, the thought is, well, one solution is to simply build more reservoirs. And one line that you did hear a lot from the Republican side as this debate progressed is that particularly was an issue that had not been prioritized in the last few, you know, decades even of water bonds that were being passed here. And they thought that reservoirs were overdue to get the attention they needed. And a couple callers back, the point that there's a lot of environmental concerns about dams and reservoirs is absolutely the case. You know, dams and reservoirs were kind of the go-to solution for so many decades to deal with water projects. And then there really was a mainstream environmental backlash that these are things that destroy rivers that really aren't that productive. And we really scaled back the amount of public money that went toward them. So I think what you're seeing is a little bit of a overcorrection in the other direction of saying we've ignored this for years. There's these two projects that we've prioritized that have been sitting there, and we want to see them funded. And that's what motivated the Republican side in these negotiations.
Let's get a few more calls and comments in. Dennis writes by email, before we rework water priorities again, perhaps we should streamline all water districts throughout the state so everyone is working within the same structure instead of 300 different water districts with different standards of use. Before we repipe water all over the state, perhaps all municipalities should have water meters instead. Let's go to another call briefly. Miriam in Oakland. Miriam, good morning.
Good morning. I am Miriam Gordon, the California Director for Clean Water Action.
Oh, excellent.
We worked hard on the water bond, and we specifically worked on provisions for improving drinking water and wastewater treatment systems. There's a lot that's good in the water bond, and we felt that delaying decision on all of these water projects because we oppose dams and surface water storage was unwise because it's critical to fix a lot of the problems in the levees and the delta and the water quality problems. But it was hard to come out and support this bond because of the dams and the surface storage. My question for Scott is...
And very briefly, Miriam, because we're almost out of time.
Well, our calculation was that the storage provisions don't guarantee that it would be surface water storage. These reservoirs and dams will be tied up in litigation probably for years. Meanwhile, groundwater storage is an option for funding under those provisions. And our thought is that the environmental community and other water stakeholders could work towards gearing that funding towards groundwater storage. Try to hold off on increasing dams and reservoirs.
Miriam, I hate to cut you short. Scott, can you respond to that really, really briefly?
Sure. Yeah, the groundwater storage is a big point, but there was language in the bond that really would steer this toward those new reservoirs.
Gotcha. Miriam, sorry to have cut you
short. The projects that get prioritized.
Sorry to have cut you short, Miriam. KQED Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow will keep covering this and keep an eye on it. Thanks for talking to us, Scott.
Hey, happy to be here.
Time for a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears to America's shortage of primary care doctors. UC Davis is the latest medical school considering a new way of producing more doctors by making the degree program shorter. That's ahead. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. This is Forum from KQED Public Radio.